All right, next speaker is Bill Pettigrew. And the title of his talk is Cotton Growth and Lint Yield Response to a Rotation with Soybean.
Thanks, John. Fluctuating commodity prices and changing farm program regulations have made it easier and often desirable for producers to shift their production on their acreage among different commodities in response to the varying market conditions. Some traditional Mid-South cotton acres are now being grown in corn or soybean in response to the more favorable prices for these commodities. In addition, although the Roundup resistant trait has been widely adopted across the cotton belt for that matter, the development of Roundup resistant weeds has made this herbicide resistant trait less valuable to many producers. Some producers are even considering growing conventional cotton varieties to avoid having to pay the technology fee for a herbicide resistant trait that doesn't control the weeds in their particular field. So our objective of this study was to see how the growth and development and agronomic performance of cotton did while it was grown in rotation with soybeans. And we also assessed these rotational schemes under both a conventional production system and a transgenic production system. We conducted this study for the past 4 years, from 2012 to 2015. Our experimental design was a randomized complete block design with a split plot treatment arrangement. Our main plots were two different production systems. We had a transgenic production system where we grew transgenic varieties and put out Roundup as part of our herbicide regime. And we had a conventional production system where we grew conventional varieties, but no Roundup was applied. Everything was replicated six times. For our varieties, for our transgenic cotton variety, we grew Delta Pine 1252 B2RF. And for our conventional cotton variety, we grew MD25NE, which was developed by the late Dr. Bill Meredith and William Noakes with the USDA ARS at Stoneville, Mississippi. Our transgenic soybean variety was DK4744RR. As I said, we had two production systems here. We had a transgenic, or one where we applied Roundup or glyphosate for our weed control. You can see we had our two transgenic varieties, the Delta Pine cotton variety and the Roundup Ready soybean variety. And for the conventional, no Roundup or glyphosate applied, our conventional cotton variety. We were not able to get our hands on a conventional soybean variety, so we grew our transgenic Roundup resistant, but treated it as a conventional variety and did not apply Roundup to it. We had six rotational schemes that were our subplots. We grew cotton continuously for the 4 years of the study, soybean continuously for the 4 years of the study, cotton the first year, followed by soybean, then cotton and soybean the last year, cotton 2 years of soybean and cotton the last year, soybean, cotton, or soybean 2 years of cotton and soybean the last year of the study. Now, I should point out that the field that this study was grown in was in corn prior to the initiation of this study. The type of data that we collected, we had dry matter partitioning and canopy light interception collected at cutout for every year of the study. Leaf chlorophyll concentrations we collected only in 2005, but that was collected at cutout as well. Lint yield components, and fiber quality collected every year of the study. I'm not going to be presenting any of the data from 2012. That was the first year of the study, the first year of our rotation, so there's really not going to be a rotation effect involved with that, so I'm not going to bother presenting that. Moving right on into our 2013 dry matter partitioning at cutout, you'll notice that where we have cotton following soybean for two of our rotational schemes in that year, we had about a 12% taller plant with an 11% greater height to node ratio relative to the plants that were in our continuous cotton rotation scheme. Cotton grown following soybean also intercepted about 5% more of the incoming solar radiation than did continuous cotton. No statistical differences in leaf area index or Pacific leaf weight in that year. 2014. Okay, guys, full disclosure here. We made a mistake and forgot to put nitrogen fertilizer on the cotton plots for that year. You know, maybe it was an issue where we had too many cooks in the kitchen and everybody assumed somebody else was going to put out the nitrogen fertility, but for whatever reason, it didn't happen. So the data that I'm presenting from 2014, you've got to look at, view these from the perspective of that mistake that we made. Okay, having said that, growing cotton following soybeans, in that scenario, we increased the plant height 14%, 10% greater height to node ratio, and those plants intercepted 19% more of the incoming solar radiation relative to the continuous cotton rotation. Again, no statistical difference in leaf area index or Pacific leaf weight. 2015, we'd gotten our act together and we put out the proper rate of nitrogen fertilization to all of the cotton plots. 100 pounds of nitrogen per acre, which is the recommended rate for our area. No statistical differences in plant height in response to growing cotton following soybean, although they did have a 9% greater height to node ratio than did the continuous cotton, and they intercepted 6% more of the incoming solar radiation compared to continuous cotton. And again, no statistical differences in leaf area index or Pacific leaf weight. Looking at our production system or variety comparisons, our transgenic variety, the Delta Pine varieties, was 17% taller than the MD25NE. It's much more vigorous plant. It had a 29% greater height to node ratio and a 33% increase in the leaf area index relative to the MD25, although the MD25 had a 10% greater Pacific leaf weight than did the Delta Pine. No differences in canopy light interception between the two varieties at this time. Essentially, both of them were at canopy closure at this time, so that's why there was no difference. And these differences most likely reflect true genetic differences in the fact that different herbicide regimes were applied to these two different varieties probably has a minimal, if any, effect on the differences that I've got right here. And I'm only presenting data from 1 year for the variety of production system differences because this was the same across all the years of our study. Looking at our leaf chlorophyll concentration here that we collected in 2005, you'll see that when we grew cotton after 2 years of soybean, that we had a 13% increase in the leaf chlorophyll concentration compared to continuous cotton, and cotton following 1 year of soybean was intermediate between those two. And this makes sense because nitrogen is a component of the chlorophyll molecule, and there should be added residual soil nitrogen following our soybean crop due to the nitrogen fixation that we have from soybean, and I guess we're having more of it from when we grew soybean for 2 years. MD25 was not statistically different than the Delta Pine variety at the 5% level, but this difference would be significant at the 6% level, and this makes sense too if you think about the prior slide that I showed you where the MD25 had a greater Pacific leaf weight. Greater Pacific leaf weights are indicative of a leaf that's denser or thicker than one with a lower Pacific leaf weight, and that could lead to increased chlorophyll concentration per unit leaf area. Looking at our lint yields, first thing, 2013, biggest point to draw away with this is the exceptional yields that we had that year in the Mississippi Delta. 2013 was a very mild year temperature-wise. We had ample and regular rainfall throughout the duration of the growing season. Plant bug infestations were relatively light, and we ended up with highest yields that I've attained during my 25-plus year career there at Stoneville in 2013. When we grew cotton following soybeans, we increased the link yield approximately 19% relative to that of continuous cotton, and this was brought about by 26% increase in the number of bolls produced per unit ground area compared to continuous cotton, although the continuous cotton did tend to have about a 2% greater lint percent than did cotton grown following soybeans. 2014, reminder, this is the year we screwed up and didn't put out nitrogen, so it's not surprising that our lint yields are substantially off. It's also not surprising that we get a spectacular response from growing cotton following soybean in that year. We increased our yield approximately 87% compared to continuous cotton due to a 73% production of more bolls, and those bolls that we did produce were 10% greater. Interestingly, when the soybean was grown 2 years prior to the current cotton crop, we also got an increase in the size of the bolls produced, but that did not translate into any increased lint yield. But it makes you wonder if something that there might be a carryover effect from even 2 years prior with a soybean crop. 2015, no statistical differences in between our different rotational schemes, although there was a numeric trend for cotton grown following soybeans to again have a yield increase, and this difference would be significant at the 10% level. No differences in terms of our other yield components that we looked at either. In terms of our variety of production system comparisons, again, I'm only presenting 1 year of this data. The MD25, which yielded substantially more than did our Delta Pine variety, 400 pounds of acre of lint more than the transgenic Delta Pine variety did. And that's due to increase of boll numbers and boll size, although the Delta Pine variety did have a substantial increase in the lint percent. Now, in all fairness, this Delta Pine variety is not very well adapted to production at stumble location. It's very vegetative, very late, and did not produce much of a bottom crop at all. Whereas the MD25 was quite well adapted to production at Stoneville because of the fact it was bred Stoneville. You know, that's what you expect. But regardless, you can see we have some pretty strong variety or production system differences, although I suspect this most likely, again, reflects true genetic differences and really doesn't have much coming in play in terms of the different herbicide regimes that are employed. There's really not much going on in terms of a rotation effect on different fiber quality traits that we looked at. Might be something going on with fiber micronair, one of the two rotational schemes where we had cotton following a soybean in 2013 had a reduced micronair relative to continuous cotton, but we didn't see that in the other rotation scheme where we had cotton following soybean. So I'm not sure if I believe that that's real or not. Nothing going on in 2014. I'm going to need to wait and see what I get back when I analyze 2015 fiber quality data to see if there might be something going on in terms of a micronair response. Not only was the MD25, not only did it produce better yields, but the lint that it produced had better fiber quality. It was stronger, longer, more uniform than the transgenic Delta Pine variety. Didn't see any difference in micronair in 2013. 2014, there was a difference where the MD25 had a reduced micronair compared to the Delta Pine variety. In conclusion, when you grow cotton following soybeans, it's taller and it intercepts more of the incoming solar radiation. It also has a higher leaf chlorophyll concentration than did the continuous cotton, and this is to be expected in lieu of the fact that, you know, soybean crop is going to be added additional nitrogen to the soil from that. With the exception of 2013, growing cotton following soybean gave us a yield increase. Now, the easiest conclusion to come to is that this yield increase is due to the added nitrogen that we're getting from that. However, with the exception of 2014, where we did our dumb mistake and didn't put out nitrogen fertilization, we were putting out 100 pounds of nitrogen per acre to every cotton plot here. And this is the recommended rate in the Mid-South. And it's based upon multiple studies at multiple locations involving multiple researchers. And nobody has been able to show a consistent yield response to higher rates of nitrogen fertilization above 100 pounds per acre. That makes me wonder, is there something else going on here? Or could it be that maybe our soil microbe population is being altered in some way when we're growing soybean from one year that's beneficial to cotton? Now this is beyond my skill set to be able to adequately address this, but I would encourage anybody that has a background in maybe soil microbiology or something like that, this might be worth taking a look at. And few fiber quality traits were affected by the treatments in this study. And I appreciate everybody making the effort to come hear me talk rather than go to lunch. All right. Questions, if you want to ask me, if you feel like delaying your lunch. Felix.
What about the herbicide treatment effect?
You know, I can't rule it out, Felix, that it's not causing anything, but I really think that the majority of differences that we've seen that I reported there, and I've just reported them as variety differences, but in actuality, they are variety and herbicide regime differences. But I would say that probably 98% to 99% of that could be explained by, you know, the variety, the genetic differences.
Didn't you have one variety that was grown in a glyphosate system and also in a
non-glyphosate system? That was a soybean variety. It wasn't a cotton.
Oh, there was no cotton.
There was no cotton that did that. And for those who want to know, apparently the soybeans did not show a strong benefit or yield response when it was in rotation with cotton. Those yields were similar across that. Phil.
Phil, what were your mean yield? Do you have any estimate of how much nitrogen you put in with those
fields? We do not have any estimate of how much nitrogen we put in that. We might have some. Now, we pull soil samples every year, and I don't know if Krishna has gotten them analyzed yet, or if where the lab he sent them off to, if they're capable of looking at some of the soil nitrogen levels there. I don't have the soybean yield data myself, so I really can't tell you what those were. I'm going to guess they were probably pretty good. They looked really good to me, and most of the years that Encompass during that study were extraordinarily yield-wise there in the Mississippi Delta for soybeans. So I'm going to assume we had pretty good soybean yields. Felix.
I was surprised by the big difference in wheat area index in that one year that we showed in there between the two varieties. One was over 5 and the other one under 4, I think.
Yeah.
And the light interception was comparable.
Yeah, the Delta Pine variety, that 1252 B2RF, very, very vegetative variety. If you saw that growing, you would understand why it had such a high leaf area index. Now, and the reason there wasn't any real differences in the variety in terms of light interception is because they were essentially at light, at canopy closure, and there was no light getting down to the row at that point for all practical purposes. This, my opinion is, this variety reminded me a lot of the triple nickel variety, except it did not put on that big spurt of yield production late to make up for this lack of bottom crop that it showed here at Stoneville.
When you, what LAI is, you consider the near environment system as critical vital perception of leaf? Because I'm curious because your specific leaf weight was also higher in the MV.
Right.
And light interception was about the same, and the leaf area index was very different. That's kind of what I'm wondering about.
Well, I'm trying to remember back. There have been some studies that address that, and I'm wanting to think, if I remember correctly, that the most efficient leaf area index value for yield production is typically like around 4. You know, and if you get higher than that, then it's almost you're putting too much of your assimilate into vegetative growth, and not enough going in toward your reproductive structures there.
I'd say 3.
Yeah.
As being critical LAI and cotton, but you know, it depends on leaf characteristics as well, leaf shape and among
other. Yeah, you know, in theory, you know, 1 should be enough. You know, if you got your leaves ranged just perfectly, yeah. So you're intercepting all that, 1 should be enough. But obviously that's not practical, but I seem to remember like 3 to 4, yeah. You know, something along that line.
All right. Unless he just wants to stick around a lot longer. I think we've held him long enough. So
appreciate you guys sticking around.